Meshes, a series of podcasts about progressive message framing. This is the seventh segment entitled, How to Talk About the Environment. I'm Bernie Horn, the Senior Director for Policy and Communications at the Public Leadership Institute, a nonpartisan nonprofit organization that seeks to help progressive lawmakers and advocates, particularly at the state and local levels of government. Please take some time to look at our website, www.publicleadershipinstitute.org. In addition to the Voicing Our Values messaging handbook, you'll find the Progressive Agenda, which contains hundreds of policy ideas and more than 150 model bills. Our handbook for policy advocates called Preparing to Win, and much more. Our last podcast, number 6, explained how to talk about education in a way to get around the problem of confirmation bias, explained in podcast 1. To persuade, you need to understand your audience's preconceptions and where you share common ground. To avoid triggering negative emotional reactions and confirmation bias, you must start from a point of agreement and provide voters with a bridge from their preconceptions to your solutions. Along the way, show that your policies are consistent with values that they already hold dear and explain how they benefit. All of this is designed to remind your listeners over and over again that you are on their side. The question now is, how do we apply this when talking about progressive environmental policies? Environmental protections used to tie Americans together. A few decades ago, Republicans were at least as pro-environment as Democrats. But times have changed, and progressives have quite a battle on their hands. Let's begin with a summary of the issue and then discuss timely examples. We told you in podcast 2 to begin any argument in agreement with your audience. But what does that mean when we're talking about the environment? How about this? We need to protect our community's health and safety and our quality of life. Who's going to disagree with that? And we told you to use values. But what values apply to the environment? How about security, safety, health, protection, and quality of life? These are all values which Americans cherish. Talking about them keeps us in agreement with our audience. And what is our progressive vision for the environment? Let me suggest something like this. We have a responsibility to protect the quality of life, not just for ourselves, but for our children and grandchildren. To do that, we need to both stop the degradation of our environment now and pursue policies that build a better future. These goals fit into 3 categories. Laws that, 1, reduce the pollution of our air, water, and land, including gases that accelerate climate change. 2, conserve energy and quickly develop clean and renewable sources of energy. And 3, pursue policies that build infrastructure to create environmentally friendly cities and towns for the future. That's the generalities. Let's move to specifics. Americans are more worried about the quality of the environment than they've ever been in recent decades. 57% think the environment will be worse, quote, for the next generation than it is now, unquote, while only 12% think the environment will get better. And really, they're right. There's good reason to be pessimistic. Nevertheless, when you speak to persuadable Americans, they are mostly concerned about how environmental issues affect them personally, themselves, their families. They're worried about their own air quality, local parks and streams and wetlands. So you should personalize your language. It's about the air we breathe. the water we drink. It's about health and safety for our children. Here's a generic message that you can adopt to fit issues in your community. This particular one's about water project, but it's just an example so you see how you can do this. We've got to protect our community's health and safety, our quality of life. We understand that includes keeping our rivers and streams clean. The Big Bend project would eliminate a great deal of our city's water pollution problem. This is the time for our county to take the responsibility to preserve the quality of life in Big Bend, not just for ourselves, but for our children and grandchildren. Now you see how that sample narrative didn't focus on details, it focused on how this project would benefit the listener and the listener's children and grandchildren, how it's about our streams and our environment and our quality of life. So again, going back to our principles, first agree with your audience and explain that progressive values underlie your environmentalism, which are in the security column of values, safety, health, and quality of life. Make the issue personal by talking about our rivers and our health, and remind them that any environmental cause benefits their families. Of course, you need to explain how your specific solution delivers the security that voters seek, and some audiences require more facts than others. Progressives almost always give too many facts up front and ignore crucial message framing. Focus more on staying in agreement, voicing your values, and helping your audience understand how they benefit. When people want details, they'll ask for it. And when they ask for it, they will listen to your answer. So let's go over some of this again. You don't want to talk about opportunity or values in the opportunity column. You want to talk about security words like our safety, security, health, our quality of life for our children and our grandchildren. In the environmental debate, the right wing tries to make the value opportunity. That is the opportunity to mine, to drill, to develop for short-term profit. Your job is to move your audience from an opportunity or business slash consumer conversation to a discussion about our family's current and long-term security. For example, let's say you're arguing for restrictions on drilling technique called hydraulic fracturing, which you should refer to as fracking. Here's a model narrative. We need to guarantee that our drinking water is safe. We need to protect our community's rivers and streams. There's plenty of evidence that fracking can pollute groundwater. Right now, companies engaged in fracking aren't even required to disclose crucial information to scientists so that we can know how dangerous it is. We need a fully effective reporting system or a moratorium to protect our health and safeguard our quality of life. Now, why are you saying it that way? Like other environmental issues, base your arguments on the value of security and personalize the issue to your audience. Anti-environmentalists want to soften the negatives associated with exploiting the environment, so they call drilling and mining exploring for energy. Obviously, you want to talk about drilling, mining, fracking, and exploiting instead. So overall, you don't want to say exploring for energy, drilling for oil or gas, fracking, exploiting our natural resources. That is the language that you're looking for. Now let's turn to the issue of climate change specifically. Polling shows that 76% of Americans are, quote, very, or quote, somewhat concerned about climate change, and 66% are very or somewhat concerned that, quote, climate change will affect them or a family member personally, which doesn't sound very good. You know, it really should be nearly all Americans, but 3/4 and 2/3 is not bad. However, there's an enormous part partisan gap on the issue. Fully one-third of Democrats, but only 17% of Republicans are, quote, very concerned about climate change, while 84% of Democrats believe that, quote, climate change is primarily caused by human activity, only 38% of Republicans accept that fact. And when asked, quote, thinking about the past few years, do you think there have been more extreme or unusual weather in the United States? 80% of Democrats say yes, but only 33% of Republicans say the weather is more extreme. This is a classic example of confirmation bias stoked by the right-wing media. Persuadable Americans, the ones who are really talking to, their views on climate change are closer to the Democrats than the Republicans. But like so many issues, the persuadables know very little about the facts, very little. Because only about 1 in 10 Americans know that there's a strong scientific consensus on the issue, a Yale study suggests that one fact is especially persuasive, and that's, quote, over 97% of climate scientists agree that humans are causing climate change, unquote. That's what their study finds. So here's a narrative that includes that. We must protect the health, safety, and security of our children and grandchildren, and they face a serious problem. Over 97% of climate scientists agree that humans are causing climate change. We need to apply common sense strategies now. We know how to implement clean energy solutions, and we know that reducing fossil fuel dependence will make America stronger and our kids safer. It's time to step up and get it done. Our children's future depends on it. So, let's say you're engaged in a longer back and forth conversation. Then you might add, last year was the hottest year ever recorded for global temperatures, and 16 of the 17 hottest years on record have occurred since 2000. That's if people are paying attention, which generally they aren't. Let me give you another example, and that's the policy of expanding renewable energy. The fact is, at the state and local levels, you rarely argue about the general problem of climate change. Instead, you're trying to enact specific legislation to expand the percentage of energy generated by renewable energy, for example. When you're talking about such a policy, avoid the partisan gap on climate change. Use arguments that are more personal, like, quote, we need to reduce air pollution to cut down on respiratory diseases like asthma, or more generally promote renewable energy with, like, quote, we need to work toward a cleaner energy future for our city. A prominent conservative polling firm found that Trump voters, quote, support taking action to accelerate the development and use of clean energy, unquote, by a margin of 3-1. And soft Republicans favor it by 6-1. At the same time, Democrats support this 48-1. So according to research, this is a quote, when Republicans hear the phrase clean energy, they think of solar and wind power. They say it's non-polluting and leads to clean air and renewable energy. There's some concern about the costs in government regulations, but that is outweighed by the positives. In future podcasts, we'll show how to use our 5 basic rules of persuasion to debate many other issues. In the meantime, do us a favor and recommend the Voicing Our Values series of podcasts to your friends. Best to you.